This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I kind of like the idea that it's the calm before the storm. It's really an exciting matchup. We've talked about that with Super Bowl 54. And yet I think this week there's been so much other news that if possible, the Super Bowl has taken a spot on the back burner. Now, it's simmering very often when I'm cooking and I've got multiple pots going. I do shove pots to the back burner when they can sit and when I don't need to address them right away. Look at me with the cooking analogy. That is the way you start a show. Yes, the Super Bowl looms large. It's like making gravy on the back burner. You let it sit. You have to stir it now and then. But you can let the gravy go for a bit while you attend to the main course. The Super Bowl very soon will be the elephant in the room. And not the one you ignore. The one that sits on you. The one that trumpets in your face. The one time in my life I heard an elephant trumpet in the wild. It is terrifying and magnificent all at the same time. I will never forget it. A bull elephant turning and trumpeting at our truck as we drove through a part of South Africa. As I was with a group, actually it was a missions trip, but we drove through this incredible safari park and we were doing a nighttime ride through the park and we stumbled. We literally drove into a herd of elephants. You couldn't see anything. We weren't using headlights. So we drove into a herd of elephants. There was a baby. It was adorable. But this enormous bull elephant got across the road in front of us and then turned, flicked his ears forward, which is a warning sign. That's a, hey, danger, danger, danger. And then lifts his trunk and trumpets at us. At which point our guide said, it's time to get out of here. The bull elephant doesn't trumpet to say hello. He trumpets to warn you that he's about to charge. But it was pretty amazing. So very soon, we will have a trumpeting elephant. The Super Bowl will be charging right at us. But man, I told a friend on Thursday night, it's been so busy this week with so much other news and sports. And while we haven't yet heard from Eli Manning, his retirement is one piece of it. Peyton Manning actually weighing in on his brother stepping away from the game, which I think is more candid than you generally hear, Peyton. So he did an interview with DenverBroncos.com. You'll hear that. Nick Saban is part of the football crush in Mobile, Alabama, getting ready for the Senior Bowl on Saturday. That includes Jalen Hurts, whose college career is finally over. He is headed for the NFL. Teams that are not at the Super Bowl, well, they're busy working on filling out their coaching staffs, thinking about offseason priorities, and that includes the Cleveland Browns. They have a coach. They don't have a general manager. We waited for a bit. We waited. But now it's time to talk about the Browns, so we'll do that. As the Haslam family attempts to restructure yet again. We had some NBA games on Thursday night, including one in Brooklyn where former President Bill Clinton was in attendance. That's what happens when you're LeBron James and the Lakers now, as if they needed more star power, have LeBron and Anthony Davis and also, I have no idea what happened to the the court in Brooklyn is so odd. It's very disconcerting. Can you find one of those wide-angle photos, Chris? It seems like they've tried to reinvent the wheel at the Barclays Center. Actually, the game is up on TV in here. And so I'm looking at it again. It just looks weird to me. Almost like they're playing in an ice rink. It's a basketball team's playing on a hockey rink. It's a weird color. So producer Chris will show you that. That was my little tangent, my aside. Our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. And our Facebook page is named after the show. We try to make it as simple for you as possible. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We're working on our guest list for Radio Row next week. So a lot of what we're doing, in addition to all the breaking news this week, a lot of what we're doing is about getting our ducks in a Radio Row for next week. We will be there Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. And we'll be on Radio Row Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. A really cool guest list. But because I know how often the guest list can change, it's like an amoeba. It can morph into a completely different shape by the time we actually get there. I'm not going to tell you any of the guests we have lined up, because that's not fair to producer Chris, who's working really hard. And then if you hear one name and it turns out that we have a conflict, there's a lot. It's a lot on this sheet of paper that keeps getting updated, which is great. So we're working to make sure we have some unique guests as well as some new guests that we've never had on the show. I don't mind doing repeat guests because there are a lot of great interviews in the football world. But we also enjoy crossing paths with football players and Hall of Famers and members of the football community that we never have before. So we're putting together this fantastic guest list for Radio Row, and we hope that you will join us next week. If you can't listen live to the show, as always, you've got the option of listening to our podcast. It's updated every weekday morning. You can find the link on both Twitter and Facebook, or you can go straight to our website. You should bookmark it. AfterHoursAmyLawrence.com. AfterHoursAmyLawrence.com. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's toll free. Before I get started on the latest news on this Thursday, as we usher in a Friday, doesn't that sound nice? Sounds so nice. I want to say thank you for how much you bought into and participated in our last show question. I loved that question so much that I wish we could do it two nights in a row. We're not going to. But you all entertained me so much with your answers. And the whole idea of a person being known for one thing. And we were talking about public figures from the world of sports, entertainment, music, even people who were never supposed to be famous and are for one thing. Even as I was thinking about it on Thursday, I was wondering, I wonder if in my own life I'll be known for one thing. Is that possible? I don't know. Amy Lawrence, comma, sports talk radio host. Now, it's hard for me to say because I am, do not consider myself to be anything close to famous or a celebrity. B, I know myself, and I know all the things that I do, so it's hard for me to boil my life down to one thing, but that was where my brain went. I wonder if I'll be known for one thing someday. Well, according to the guy who answered the question with Michael Jordan, I suppose I could actually be an answer to the question. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, thank you so much for the support that you give us for the show, as well as for our social media. I know my columns, you read those as well. And it's good. It's good to take this journey with you, even as we launch forward into the final few days before the Super Bowl. I hope you're excited about it. As we get closer, we'll talk more about the actual game. We do have the quarterbacks, as well as Andy Reid, talking about these final few days of preparation. So we'll drop a little bit of Super Bowl yapping in there. But for the most part, it's the calm before the storm. It has turned into an even greater storm for Antonio Brown. I didn't mention this much on our last show, but you may have heard that he had an arrest warrant issued for him on three separate charges, and that he reportedly locked himself into his house. That was yesterday. And I guess that was so that he could get his legal team lined up. I'm not really sure. Did you know that you can actually lock yourself in the house and avoid getting arrested? I didn't even realize that. I don't know if that changes from state to state, but unless you are a mortal danger to yourself and others, or you pose a threat to other people in your home, I guess the authorities, at least in Hollywood, Florida, aren't going to go barging into your house to get you, even if there is an arrest warrant issued for you. So he turned himself in on Thursday morning. And the charges against him at this point, felony burglary with battery, burglary of an unoccupied conveyance, criminal mischief. And I don't know if you saw the details of this alleged incident outside his home with a moving truck driver. All kinds of just stuff that is hard to believe unless you know about the spiral, this downward spiral that he's been on now for months. Things like throwing rocks at a moving truck, forcing his way into the cabin of the truck, hitting the driver. Because the driver was asking for payment and Brown didn't want to pay him. And then it was a moving company that was hired to deliver Antonio's stuff from California to his home in Hollywood, Florida. But there was other stuff in the truck. It wasn't just his stuff. You know how moving trucks are. If they're going cross country, you're renting space in a large moving truck. And when Brown wouldn't pay, the driver tried to leave. And so that's kind of when the initial alleged assault took place. The driver called police, of course. When the driver still wouldn't drop off the goods, the Brown stuff, because of the debate over payment and then the damage, the rock damaging the truck. Antonio allegedly grabbed the keys, opened up the back, has someone helping him, and he's trying to get his own stuff out, but then throwing other stuff out on the street. Again, this is all reports, police reports. His attorney says he's innocent. But according to another report, which included interviews with his neighbors in this gated community where he lives, The neighbors are ticked because the police keep having to show up because different people keep calling the police. And maybe you saw the video from, was it last week, earlier this week? I'm done watching Antonio Brown videos. I didn't watch the one with his children, with his awful language, calling police the names that he did. I read some of the details, but I did not watch it. I don't want to see anymore. But the neighbors are not only tired of the police showing up, but all kinds of crap happening at his home. They're just fed up. And on a much smaller scale is the impact this has. So you've got his family, his kids. You've got his neighbors. Now he's got legal issues and criminal charges. And then way, 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 way down the line, his football career. Is that over? The NFL certainly is not going to allow him back on a roster without hefty discipline. I can't imagine any team right now is going to touch him with a 10-foot pole. And every day that goes by, he gets older. And he does not take care of himself. And if you thought he was a cancer in the clubhouse before, imagine how it is now and the distraction it would be to even think about signing him. I mean, things change so rapidly. So he posted bond after turning himself in, and the NFL has more than enough material to make sure he doesn't play for a really long time if any team is interested in bringing him back. Gosh, it's sad. I told you last night it makes me angry because of his kids, but it also makes me sad. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Serena Williams a bit sad after she's ousted at the Australian Open, and her BFF actually lost in the third round as well, and her career is now done. So we'll get into the latest from Down Under. Thanks so much for joining us. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Personally, I made a lot of errors, so I didn't hit any of those shots in New York or in general in a really long time, so that's good news, but I just made far too many errors to be a professional athlete today.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Serena Williams ousted in the third round of the Australian Open. Earliest exit down under in 14 years. Now, you remember the last time she won a Grand Slam, it was also in Melbourne in 2017. So it's now been 3 years since she's won a Grand Slam. She was pregnant at the time, and her life has gone through some incredible changes. Positive, most of them positive. But it's been a tough road to get back to the form in which she was. Maybe never will be. I mean, age is a part of that as well. She was already defying father time even before she got pregnant. She's gotten close to winning that 24th Grand Slam, but has never gotten there. Not quite yet. She's lost in a couple of finals. But this one is stunning. And Serena herself talking about all the mistakes that she made. 27 unforced errors. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Interestingly enough, and this is how it goes in individual sports, and really in team sports too, it's hard to beat a single opponent consecutive times, more than once, to have the ability to extend that dominance. But the first time she faced this opponent, Wang Chong is her name, the first time that she faced her was last fall at the U.S. Open. And the match was over in 44 minutes. That's how quick it was. 44 minutes. Chong only had 15 points to Serena's 50. That, again, going back to last fall. But it gave her a blueprint, what to work on. And also, Serena opened that door with all of her mistakes. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. If I'm not mistaken, Roger Federer went 5 years in between his Grand Slam titles. I'd have to go back and look at really quickly, and we're getting up to the bottom of the hour here. But Federer, also later in his career, he went 5 years in between Grand Slam wins. And part of that is age. Part of that is the fact that there are so many other incredible players, or Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic. So you're not just playing in a vacuum. But my point is, it's not impossible for Serena to win another one. It's not. She could go 2 more years, potentially, and could still be a major factor because of her strength, because of her power. Now, opponents have figured out how to adjust to it, but it doesn't mean she couldn't still win again. I've managed to do it. I managed to Google it while I was talking to you. And so the Roger Federer streak, it was going back to his last His last Grand Slam title. It's amazing how relevant he stayed, so that's a completely other story. But I feel the same thing about Serena Williams. It's amazing that she's still at the point at which she can win Grand Slam matches. Because a lot of times, athletes in their late 30s get bypassed by all the youth in their sports. But every time she loses, the question is about her legacy. Every time she loses, the question is about not putting herself in position to win that 24th Grand Slam all time.
It's not even about the slams. It's about just me playing good tennis, and I didn't do that today. And that is more disappointing. So it's not even about the win, or it's just more about I'm better. I'm better than that, and that is what it is for me today.
And I appreciate that, because for a lot of us looking at, in from the outside, that's what it's all about, winning number 24. However, for her, for the athlete, she has to stay in the moment where she is. She has to be able to focus on the here and now, because if you skip the here and now, you're never going to get to where you want to go. And that's true of anything in real life, so to speak. Now, her career will go on. Her BFF, Caroline Wozniacki, also lost in the third round at the Australian Open today, and her career is now done. So she had indicated that this would be her last Grand Slam, her last tournament, that she was retiring after the Australian Open. And I think the reason she chose the Australian Open is because she won this tournament in 2018. But she just lost in the third round not that long ago and was understandably emotional when it was done, and she is now retired. She got married to a former NBA player, David Lee. Yes, she got married. Remember, she was engaged for a long time to Roy McIlroy. That whole thing flamed out in really dramatic fashion. But then she got married to David Lee, and she talks about wanting to start a new life, and she's got some other things she wants to do, and that's great. Good for her. But certainly her Australian Open ended before she wanted it to. So we're keeping tabs on what's happening down under. I like having live tennis while we're on the radio. That's always fun. We have live tennis, live golf. Speaking of golf, we had the start of Torrey Pines and Tiger Woods with a real strong opening round, along with Wozniacki's ex, Rory McIlroy, actually can win Torrey Pines this weekend and take over the number one ranking in the world for the first time in 4 years, which is also really impressive. Okay. Coming up next, the Cleveland Browns are restructuring. They hit the reset button again. Kevin Stefanski in place. None of this is his fault, so don't blame him. There's always a silver lining. And so I'm going to ask our next guest from Cleveland, what are the positives? Let's accentuate the positives, shall we? There's always a reason for optimism. It's always darkest before the dawn. Trying to drop my cliches on you.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I'm still in the infancy of studying last year, and we'll identify some things as we get going, but certainly when you're talking about this job and this franchise and everything that goes with it, you think about the quarterback, and I think the sky's the limit for the kid.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
One of the attractive factors in taking the head coaching job with the Cleveland Browns, Kevin Stefanski, is a former offensive coordinator with the Vikings, gets the chance to work with and develop the talents of Baker Mayfield. So that's just one piece of it. There's plenty to like about the Browns lineup, even though this season was an unmitigated disaster, and even though ownership has started all over again. But maybe Stefanski is where this cycle of turnover and transition ends. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Daryl Ryder, who covers the Browns for our Cleveland affiliate, 92.3 The Fan. Daryl, let's start with Coach Stefanski. He's been on the job for just a few days now. What's your impression of the latest first-time head coach for Cleveland?
Well, I mean, this is what they do. They hire first-time coaches and unproven guys, and certainly Kevin comes to Cleveland with a pretty solid resume. He comes from an organization that is the antithesis of what the Cleveland Browns are, and that is a very stable building there up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So first impressions, you know, seems like a great guy, seems like he's smart, very level-headed, very measured in his thinking and how he goes about things. A very favorable, positive first impression, I think, has been made on his in the short time that he's been on the job and a couple of times that we've had an opportunity to speak with him. But we said that about a lot of Browns coaches over the years about positive first impressions. So I think it's obviously way too premature to judge anything. Mm. They're still looking for his partner in crime, his general manager, but so far so good. And like I said, he certainly has struck all the right notes as he's come to town.
Even without a general manager, Daryl, what do we know about who's actually in charge and calling these shots now?
Well, we are back to the Haslam ownership group calling the shots. Paul DePodesta is back to reporting to them. The general manager, whomever that ends up being, will be back reporting to them. Stefanski reports to them. And the thinking, though, is because that has been a very toxic setup, this would not be the first time that they've had this setup. But the other problem they've had is when they've gone away and given someone else the authority, go back all the way to when they first bought the team and Joe Banner, and then most recently, John Dorsey, putting him in charge of the head coach in the football operation and it not working out. To be fair to the Haslams, their trust has somewhat been violated. I mean, John Dorsey was given carte blanche to hire his coach last offseason. He gave them Freddie Kitchens, and that was just an unmitigated disaster this year, or this past season, rather. So, I understand now why the Haslam's going back to the hands-on approach. And that's why Stefanski is intimately involved in this GM search, because their thought process is that if the head coach is in on the GM search and the head coach is already in lockstep with Paul DePodesta, who has had tremendous influence over this organization from his beach house in San Diego, California, that there aren't going to be the problems that they've had in the past when everyone has answered ownership. And that is, of course, with all these factions whispering sweet nothings into Jimmy Haslam's ear and blaming other parties for why the franchise is not performing on the field.
Mm. Daryl Ryder covers the Browns for our Cleveland affiliate, 92.3 The Fan, with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So I'll just be honest, sarcasm is my love language, and I can hear that you are dripping with it. So I'm wondering, is your skepticism indicative of what a good portion of the Cleveland fan base is feeling in the wake of yet another coaching regime turnover?
No, listen, Browns fans are on board with anything. You know, January, hope springs eternal. You get into draft talk and free agency and everything else. By the off season, by the middle of the off season here, when we get close to the summer, everyone's going to be ready to buy their playoff tickets again. That's just kind of the cycle of eternal optimism of Browns fans. You know, the reason why it's such a tongue-in-cheek approach is I've seen the song and dance so many times.
Right.
I've heard the same alignment speeches collaboration. And I've heard it all already. And I've heard it so many times that it's like, I'm giving it a fair shake. You know, Kevin Stefanski, he comes in with a clean slate. The new GM comes in with a clean slate. The Haslams get a clean slate. Let's see how long they can, stick with this plan now. So it's one of those things where I have no defense of the Haslams. What possibly can I tell Browns fans about how the Haslams operate this franchise to put them at ease that these people actually know what on earth they're doing? Because they have proven since 2013 They're clueless. They spent over $1 billion on a franchise. They don't know how to operate. And they've been, you know, it's been trial by error for them. You know, when they bought the team from the Lerner family, because the Browns were the dreg of the NFL, I mean, they came in and they made this thing worse, which is incomprehensible to me that that was even possible, that they made the worst franchise in the NFL even worse with the people that they've hired, those people letting them down and violating their trust, forcing them to make change after change after change after change. So, yeah, I'm critical of the Haslams, but I also understand each and every time why they've had to make these changes. The problem is the common denominator is the Haslams. Mm. The names on the door change, but, you know, they still own the team, and they're free to operate it however they want. But how they have operated it since 2013 has not worked. It's resulted in a historically awful stretch. The last 2 years have been palpable. They won 13 games, which is one shy of tying what they won the previous 5 years, and that's 14 games over 5 years. So, you know, these last two seasons by Brown standards have been great. They won 7 and 6 games in back-to-back years. So by Brown standards, that's great. By NFL standards, that's terrible. Mm. But for a franchise that historically has won or averaged winning between 3 and 5 games per year since 1999, you at least feel like they're close, you know, that they're really close to becoming one of the better teams in their division or in the conference and maybe contending in the NFL. But unfortunately, where the Browns are concerned, something always seems to get in their way.
And a lot of the talent or the positives then get masked by poor leadership. Daryl Ryder is with us from Cleveland. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. But let's try to accentuate the positive, shall we? What reasons for optimism are there moving forward into 2020?
Well, the roster is ready to win now. I mean, it was ready to win last year under Freddie Kitchens, and that's why Freddie Kitchens is no longer here, and they made this change. Kevin Stefanski comes with a very strong, solid resume. He's considered a really good offensive mind. The type of personnel and packaging that he liked to use in Minnesota certainly fits the personnel and the packages that the Browns can put on the field. So that's reason for optimism. Nick Chubb is coming off of one of the best rushing seasons in franchise history. Just shy of 1,500 yards. Odell Beckham Jr., despite his core muscle injury that he just had surgery for, did not miss a game last year. Still caught for 1,000 yards. Jarvis Landry is in the Pro Bowl, caught for over 1,000 yards. That's the first time the Browns have ever had two wide receivers have 1,000-yard seasons, and then you throw in a running back that's right. Over that mark. So they have some pieces and parts here, and if they make some quality moves in the offseason, fix the offensive line, maybe add a tight end, look at that defense. They could use a safety, maybe some depth on the defensive line and in the back defensive backfield there. I really think that they're positioned, much like they were last year, to do some great things in 2020.
How would you evaluate the season that Baker Mayfield had?
Well, it was underwhelming, no question about that. I think Baker Mayfield was a victim of some really terrible coaching. Again, that's why this staff is gone. He got his eyes opened a little bit that maybe this in the NFL isn't nearly as easy as he might have thought it to be. You were talking about dipping for positive. Here's another positive. Baker Mayfield thrives off negativity. You know, going into last season, Baker's the franchise quarterback. He's and he's doing all these commercials, and everyone loves Baker Mayfield and all the covers they had. The Browns are back, and all these things, right? Everyone's telling the Browns how great they are, including myself last offseason. And they go out and go 6-10. Coach gets fired after a year. GM then gets fired, and here we are resetting everything again. Well, now this offseason is, the Browns are still the Browns. They still stink. Baker Mayfield stinks and whatnot. So I really think that this potentially could fuel Baker because everyone's off the bandwagon now. You know what I'm saying? And Baker seems to thrive when he's going up against that negativity. But what concerns me about him is that it's great. You know, he's got to find that medium, that happy medium that Tom Brady has, where, you know, Tom Brady still has the chip on his shoulder, but was able to win 6 Super Bowl rings, still might win some more. His career obviously isn't over, but he knows, Brady knows how to deal with success. Baker, we know he can deal with negativity. He's proven that his entire life. Every level of football he has played, someone has told him he can't do it. We know the walk-on story in college, 2 colleges, he ends up winning the Heisman, number one pick, all those things, right? What we've not seen him do yet is be successful in positive time. Well, last year was his first opportunity to be successful with a lot of positive press going into a season, and he failed. This year, there's going to be negative press going into the season. Can you bounce back? You know, you had a sophomore slump, all these things, right? Couldn't complete 60% of your passes. You threw almost as many interceptions as you did touchdowns, right? There are going to be questions, you know, is he the franchise quarterback? Now, I expect him to respond to that in a very positive fashion this coming year. But once things get going again in a positive direction, how does he handle that success? And I think that that's going to be something that he's going to have to really learn how to do. Because, you know, we're objective in the media. I know some people think that we're not. But, you know, when you're playing well, we're going to say you're playing well. And, you know, how does Baker handle those, you know, those pats on the back from reporters that he feels off of saying he can't play or he stinks?
Well, yeah. But the first issue, of course, is establishing the winning and the winning culture and then seeing how he deals with it. I guess that's the first step. All right. You can find Daryl on Twitter at Right or Wrong, R-U-I-T-E-R, Wrong Fan, F-A-N, with our Cleveland affiliate 92.3 The Fan. I wonder how fans might handle the winning and the excitement as well. So that's something else that we'll get to for another day. But Daryl, it's good to talk to you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
It won't be a problem in Cleveland.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.